Engaging Conversations, 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Was that it?
How was it?
We're back.
So now it's time to go.
Yes.
It's go time.
Is it 6? Welcome to the accredited powered by 10th year seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo and it's March, so obviously I am dressed apart. This is an audio medium. Y'all can't see it. I'm wearing a Kentucky
hoodie. Sometimes the camera's out straight.
Stop playing with the microphone.
You wish dressed like the sun too.
Oh boy.
The sun's not highlight, not neon green.
I'm John Mark and go Cats.
Thank you.
I'm Ricardo. I'm just happy to be here.
Wait, which Cats?
Any Wildcat.
You can't. It can't be any Wildcat. Carter, do your job.
Tell the one that we watched yesterday.
Oh, if you want to join the conversation, telephone lines are open. You can hit us up at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also open at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Join the conversation.
Here's the crazy thing, though. When I said go Cats, last night when we were watching the game, Niall said all you have to say is go Cats. And now he's asking which ones.
Well, that's when we are amongst individuals of this. Anyway, we are talking to the general public now, so certain things have to change in this conversation. But we will start today with our usual topic. We like to start you with local sports. And our topic today in this segment called What's the Lead? Our Lead. So we are going to tie in local and international sports.
You mean the seven lead people we have in the NCAA tournaments?
The seven people we have. Everyone, listen.
Is it seven?
No, it's you said it with such authority. I just believe
I think
in
it's
it.
Eight.
That's how much trust I have in you. You just say it and I say, all right, cool.
It's five players, two staff. And we're not good at math. I mean, remember, we write and we post stuff. We don't really do math. It's like nine.
I suck at math.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, so we are
talking. More than two.
So we are talking about. Clearly see what you're going for there, John. No shade at all. So we are talking about the NCAA tournament and whether you are into college sports or not, the phrase March Madness. Every marketing manager worth their salt has used March Madness, not even knowing where it came from. We just know that the alliteration works.
Clearly, you said something. We have a first call literally.
Oh, go.
No.
We was working that properly before.
Caller, go ahead.
No, I
think we lost our caller. Go ahead.
We?
Oh, hold on. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Go ahead.
Calling it as the general public.
Thank you, general public.
Yeah, look here, this party now. Let me ask you a question now. Hello?
Yeah, we here.
This party, let me ask you a general call-up question now. We just celebrated 51 years of going forward. Hello?
Yeah, we here. We're waiting on the question.
I'm not sure if it's 51 years of going forward, but...
We just celebrated 51 years of going forward. Are we going to celebrate 51 years now of going backward?
That's a hypothetical question. We could.
No, because I'm trying to figure out. I'm 74 years old, and I thought we were spending so much time in my life. Now when the generation after me come up, they're telling me that we were not doing that. We were lied to for 51 years.
Wow.
By my leaders. My religious leaders lied to me. My political leaders lied to me.
That's crazy.
My social leaders lied to me. My protective leaders, the police and defense force, lied to me for 51 years.
What did you have any sports leaders in the mix?
Are the young people going to lie to me now for the next 51?
Did you have any sports leaders in the mix? Did they lie to you?
Did who?
Your sports leaders. Did they lie to you?
My sports leaders?
Yes, that's what we on today.
Oh, let me say, to me, when it came to athletics, we had some of the best athletics during my time. Because I remember sports from the what we used to call the Western Fort, Fort St. Catherine, so Fort Charlotte.
Yeah.
When growing up, we went to church on Sunday morning.
Me too.
After church, we headed without cars, without motorbikes.
Mm.
We walked to the Western Fort.
In great shape.
And we played hockey. Wow. We played cricket. We played baseball.
First up.
And soccer.
Four
after
sports.
10 o'clock. Till sunset.
Wow.
Every Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today, Sparky. Go ahead now.
Sparky, NCAA tournament.
Sparky was from a very versatile group of behemoths that played four sports in one afternoon.
The
that
hockey part is really what took me out.
We have lost some recipes. But you know, one sport he did not mention, college basketball, which is where we are going to start today. We have eight behemoths involved in the NCAA tournament.
We have not confirmed that number.
Nine.
All right, there we go.
The number keeps going
up. Yeah. Hey, it's a good thing the number keeps going up.
All right. So anyway, as I was going on my diatribe before we got sidetracked, March Madness. This is what we're here for. If you are in tune with basketball, Bahamian basketball, you should know that the entire basketball world shines their light in the NCAA in March, and we have some very prominent names in the Bahamas involved in this tournament. It's not only a testament to our development, but a testament to how once we get to the international stage, we are on par with anyone else. And I want to start, obviously, with the players and the player that has been the talk of not just the Bahamas, but the basketball world in general. Vijay Ejikum leading Baylor Bears into the second round. Baylor will play Duke tomorrow afternoon. Great first game from Vijay. This is what people expected. You know he's going to be a lottery pick. A young Bahamian player to be one of the best freshmen in the nation and to lead his team into the second round. What do we think from Vijay's first game? Before we even get to the matchup looking at Duke, what did we like from Vijay in round one?
You see that bog?
I did. To the uninitiated, can you explain what a bog is?
A missed dunk.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that was
why did it bother you so much, John?
No, it's how impressive it was.
Okay. No, his missed dunks are highlights.
Did you see how far the ball went when it hit the rim? It went past half court, almost to the free throw line.
The only question I have about Vijay's game is it anger or is it just I got to prove myself? Or is it a combination of both? Because the dominance he plays with is almost like I have to prove myself on every single play.
You know when we're going to answer that question, Cardo? And let's just go to it now because we had some things to sidetrack us. Four sports in one afternoon. But we're going to know that in this next round when he goes up against the prohibitive number one pick
in the
draft. When he goes up against...
You can't call him fake, John. All of the professionals...
No, he's legitimately going to be the number one pick. I'm not... Vijay is going up against Duke and Cooper Flagg, right?
He had the donkey head off.
Here's why it's a legitimate rivalry personally between them. Because everyone is going to start resharing that video from when Montverde Academy played against Lujai and Cooper Flagg had stuff to say directly to Vijay on the free throw line saying, you ain't like that. And all I want is for one time to BJ to make a play on Cooper Flagg and ask him, who do you think you're talking to?
The Bimini boy.
And then say some stuff that I can't say here on Guardian Radio.
I mean, you can tease it. You can't say it specifically, but you can tease it.
No, you can
it begins with a C and ends with a C.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can cause me to think on the podcast and then actually say it, which I shouldn't do because then we can get Urquhart four sports in one afternoon.
Look, all I know is this. I'm going to send BJ a message and I'm going to say, hey, we need you to do something where we could post to social media and only we will understand.
No, so definitely, I feel like this is more than a proving game. You touched on it that Akupi, he's like the projected number one overall pick. Everybody considers him to be the standard in his class.
Shh.
And I think over the last year, you've seen Vijay step up to the point to say, hey, it's not going to happen as quickly as you think. Vijay has gone from just discussions on the back half, well, the first half of the second round, to clearly a number first round pick. To now projected to be in a lottery.
Even a lottery pick for the last 2 years?
No, what I'm trying to say is the way he's climbed the ladder to match up with persons like Cooper. This is where you now have that ability to say, hey, this is going to be an open conversation for the number one overall pick.
Stop hating on my boy. Y'all like Cooper too much. That's all I'm saying.
You mean him specifically?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I like him too much.
Here's a hot thing.
He's been dominated in high school. He's been the guy we
need at all. I know we're going to... I mean, this would be later on down the road when the Mavericks get in the lottery.
Oh, boy.
No, no, listen. Carter could like this. They get the number one pick, uh-huh. and then Nico Harrison trades the pick to the Lakers. Okay. And then they get
I can actually get behind that.
Well, number two pick.
Any pick. Because I think AD is done with them after.
But no, VJ is that guy. Like, first of all, he was robbed when he had the and one with the left-handed layup. And it's just like, who in their right mind does not think that's a continuation? The referees.
I just was about to say.
Because they probably had a parlay on that game. And they were like, mm-mm.
Wow. Okay. Look, reckless speculation. We are.
Allegedly.
We are a journalistic entity. We cannot recklessly speculate. Also, moving on to the round of 32, Frederick King and the Creighton Blue Jays. They defeated Louisville in the first round. Frederick, we've discussed this on here before. We questioned whether he should go back to Creighton because Ryan Kalkbrenner, a four-time Big East defensive player
of the
year.
Just call him Ryan, please.
K-A-L-K Brenner. Four-time Big East defensive player of the year. We did not think that Frederick entered the transfer portal and we were like, yeah, this is the right move to make. You need to go somewhere where you could get some playing time, have some good stuff on film for wherever basketball is going to take you next. He decided to return to Creighton. Mm-hmm. And then we got the news. Well, Ryan.
Literally 3 hours later. I remember it was just like, when I saw that, I said, oh, he definitely got to be going pro. Like, he definitely going to the draft. 3 hours later, coming back from my senior season. Like, what?
Second senior season. I'm like, why? Why are you playing so much college basketball? But anyway, so that is the reason that Frederick King has not been able to progress in this Creighton lineup. But nevertheless, on to the second round again, and McDermott has had the Blue Jays as a mainstay in the Big East. I would say over the last 5 to 7 years. What, we got Carla? Oh, okay, go ahead.
Carla, go ahead.
Yeah, morning, gentlemen. Voice caller. I appreciate you guys and listening to you guys over the since you was on the air, right? I realize that we are way behind in what we should be doing, because I agree with just about everything you guys be saying, but as it relates to the basketball, right? The guy from Bimini, what's his son name?
Edgecombe.
All right, yeah. I went to school with the Beach Boys and the Sounders Boys, and some of the roles, them, right? Now, you would ask a question, whether it was this angle or whatever, but I can tell you this, you know, when St. John's had, when we used to win the softball high school all the time and basketball, a lot of our players, especially with the softball, were from Bimini. The Reach, the Sounders, the Rule. I'm telling you, those guys in Bimini, they take sports serious. I'm telling you now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so that influence came from a lot of them going away to school and just, you understand me? But I wanted to ask you guys this question. Kai Jones came about that, and like, but I realized, I think someone, like, the Bohemians, like, the NBA, for me, for about, the way I see Buddy Hield playing, right? And Buddy's a good player. When I look at Buddy's capabilities, the other day what he did, 6 3-pointers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then sometimes he scored low. So, I mean, is that, you think that's the coaching trying to really keep him down in a way? Because, for me, I look at the playing time, and I look what Buddy is capable of doing. And the disparity in the scoring from game to game, I feel as if they're not giving him doing what he should be doing. And then I like how Kai Jones moving up. We see Jazz kind on. And I want you guys to do me a favor. The young Johnson lady from St. John's, find out that's Mark Johnson's daughter. Because me and Mark is track together.
I'll look into that. Jazay Johnson you're talking about.
11 seconds, but yeah, I think that might be. Because for a young lady to be running that kind of time, I mean, that's off the chain. That's like a junior boy's time, like grade 7, grade 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's great. St. John's excellence. All right, so let's take it. So we'll shift from the NCAA tournament for a minute. So I want to start with his question about Buddy. So, yeah, the thing about it is, and this is what happens when you're as deep into your career as Buddy is.
82 games is a lot.
You find, it's more about finding, he's a role player in the NBA. And that is not meant to be a disparaging remark. Most players in the NBA are role players. Like, he's not a superstar, and that's great. Role players are the ones who have 10, 15-year careers. You obviously went to a team that has a specific system in place, not meant to replace Klay Thompson by himself, but the Warriors were still trying to figure things out. So even at this point, Steve Kerr is still trying to figure out which lineup works best with who. Should I be playing Podziemski more? Should I be playing Moses Moody more? How does Buddy fit into the mix? Is Buddy going to be playing the 2? Is he going to be playing the 3? So the way the Warriors have been, and even before the Jimmy Butler trade, it's been more about figuring who works well together. Wow. How are we going to, because we're not going to recapture the lineup of death that we had before. This is a team that's in flux while trying to keep your older core players engaged. So I don't look at it as this is not something specifically negative that Buddy is doing, but it's more so the Warriors have to figure out who is going to be a part of that playoff run. Obviously, they didn't think they had enough. That's why they made the Jimmy Butler move.
Right. I remember early in the 2000s, the NBA game came down to what was then analytics. You had persons that would crunch numbers, find your best percentage at certain spots, and work the offense depending on that. Now, with the inclusion of AI, you have a lot of these, like Niall said, role players.
Allen Iverson?
Yeah.
The new form of AI. You have a lot of these role players having key moments in individual games where you would say, hey, Golden State is up against New York. You know, Karl Anthony Towns is hot, not good coming off of the pick. So you would try to position Buddy to come off a corner to get an open shot. And you just would work that play. And that's the way the NBA has kind of developed to allow these persons to crack out to do specialized roles on a lot of these teams.
But one of the biggest things with Buddy, and this is why Buddy is so valuable to teams, he's off or he's on. He's someone who could go in a three-game stretch and get you 20 points a game. Yep. And that's going to be three-pointers. That's going to be what you need. So I feel like Buddy is more built for playoff basketball now. Now, he is going to be what the James Jones was, the Mike Miller was with the Heat.
James Posey.
No, he was right. James Jones. James both Posey, of them. Yeah, James Posey was 06.
They both had moments.
No, that's the one I'm more familiar with. Yeah. Posey. The Heat years.
Yeah. So it's just like he is
keep one of up with the Jameses.
Yeah. He's one of those players that he is going to, like, for him, averaging 12 points in the playoffs is going to be big because it's going to be 3 points coming. Yeah. And it's going to open up the floor.
Especially for relying on Jimmy Butler on the defensive end.
But he playing defense, you see them big highlights.
Now, and I think
he's been playing his whole life.
But so much of it, right? And Sean's going to get personal. Sean feels like when you attack Buddy, you personally attack him. All right. So, but I feel like the rhetoric around a lot of it has been, okay, he's only playing efficiently on one side of the ball. And when you have that view, whether it's true or not, narratives are important.
Yeah.
Narratives work on coaching staffs as well. That narrative around him, like I said, whether the numbers support it or not, this is what people were going to think
it's
about.
It's the age of social media, but when people get to talking, it becomes the hype. And once it becomes the hype, you got people who depend on these things for livelihood. So if your job on the line and you keep hearing the noise, the owner's hearing the same noise, so he's saying, well, if everybody out there can see that Buddy is the problem, how can't
they? Nico Harrison? That's right. What they are.
Exactly.
So, and then, so I think the best numbers he put up was in the Dave Yeager years in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And then once it's been trying to find the spot. We thought Philadelphia was going to be the right spot because, you know, you had an MVP caliber player in
Joel. In retrospect, Joel clearly it was.
I mean, I'm glad that he was able to get out at the right time.
Yeah.
But as for how things are moving forward in Golden State, yeah, it's been a season of ebbs and flows. He started off and people are wondering whether he was in the MVP conversation literally over those first 8 games. And you've seen it go up and down, but that's how the Warriors season itself has been.
But one thing you're always going to get from Buddy, regardless if he's shooting well, if he's not shooting well, if he's playing defense, if he's not, he's going to give you 100% on the court, regardless of what it is. Like, he is going to go on the court and do everything he can. And even when he's on the bench, he's going to be that guy.
A great teammate. And you see what the relationship that's growing between him and Jimmy Butler now. Every post game, they're having their back and forth antics. We were just watching one this morning before the game started. So he's, and John has spoken to this before, he's one of those players where the joy that he brings in the locker room literally translates to the court. Like, it means something. So for him to be a part of, and we thought, well, not just us, he was in a lot of trade rumors right before the deadline. So there
he's
was
forever going to be in trade rumors.
So there was a wonder whether he was even going to be in Golden State moving forward. And so that played a part in playing time as well, because as we know, when teams are looking to move people sometimes, you know, that doesn't happen. They decided to keep him. But I think moving forward, headed into the playoffs, the role is going to get bigger. He's going to become more important.
That's exactly what I was about to say to John's point. Once you move into the playoff, he's the kind of player you look out for. Somebody that can get on a hot streak and really
But look with the Sixers.
Up.
The Sixers didn't want to play him, and then they brought him in too late. And he was had that one game.
Oh, follow up on another point from the caller, and we can just present this without comment. Kai Jones, can't on bud.
Hmm.
That need to be a segment, can't on bod. I love that.
We should have that.
Yes.
Who can on bod of the week? We retell everyone who can on bod this week. Kai Jones, definitely. So having the opportunity with the Dallas Mavericks and doing everything that we thought he should have been doing
in
Charlotte.
What I love about, like, with the public with Kai Jones.
Can on bod.
Carry on bad. But with Buddy, I always felt it was unrealistic because of what he did in college. You would expect him to be, because he's a scorer.
Yeah.
But Kai out there, I mean, he's had great games, but he put up 10-7 or 10-6 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, that's a great game. Yes, that is a great basketball game. That's like a buddy puts up 12 points and hits 4 3-pointers. That's a great game. Like, we have to realize what the set. Like, Aiden needs to do 2010 to be a great game.
What I like from God a lot, and I know we were not supposed to be talking to NBA the first
time. No, that's fine.
Hey, it's listen, basketball.
We go where the callers lead us.
What I like about God the last couple of weeks is you see the
scan effort. On by.
You see it in his intensity. It's like every matchup he's out there trying to prove that, bro, I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. I can outwork a lot of dudes.
That's,
I can get up and down the court. And I gotta respect
you. So said, Carter, you would say he was doing what?
Carry it on, bro.
Thank you.
No, but I agree with that. Kai, he always... We know the confidence level that these elite athletes have, right? And sometimes you get put in a situation like... Wait, the crazy thing is, so when Kai played... You know, Kai played in this AmeriCup cycle. Like, people don't realize that. And when you talk to Kai, when I was talking to Kai outside of it, Kai was just so happy to be able to play basketball again. Yeah. And you just realize, like, the stuff that these athletes go through. So Kai was just like, man, I didn't know if I was ever going to hoop again. To hear someone say that who's 6'11 and is a freak athlete is wild to me, because it's just like, nah, you're good enough to do whatever. And I remember the last thing I told him when we was going to the press conference, I said, I never want to see you playing one of these windows again. Like, you only made for the summer.
All right.
So now he's proving his point with the Mavericks and saying, y'all need to sign me to this real contract.
Carla, we got 2 minutes before the half. Go ahead. Carla, go ahead.
Morning. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Am I on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning to you. First time calling into your show.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say that I'm enjoying this conversation. I tuned in maybe about 10 minutes ago. And I just want to put something on the plate here in relation to the appreciation of our athletes, especially right now. The track and field has dominated our society for a very long time. Now we're looking at the aspect of basketball, especially among our youth and many of our other professional players who would have been engaged in the sport. What are your thoughts on perhaps instead of having the basketball camps? Yes, we want to applaud people like Jeff Rogers and so on and so forth, who has been doing these things for many, many, many years. Actually, creating what is called a basketball academy, seeing that most of our schools are engaged in basketball, a lot of our social programs or even right in the community are all seem to be basketball-centered. To have a year-round basketball academy where the youth in particular who may not be truly interested in the academics, but more into the sports, will be given that opportunity. Yes, they will still maintain their English, their math, their trigonometry, of course, because basketball does have something to do with angles and how you toss the ball in. But to actually give the youth who may not be all that engaged and do the scholastics in terms of the academics, to give them a fairly good chance to excel in the sport of basketball. Not doing, like I said, the basketball camps, but actually specifically targeting these persons who could be like Buddy Hield, who could be like many of the other Bahamian basketball, professional basketball players. But you are specifically targeting football players ever in the history of the sport.
Right.
You know, right here in the Bahamas, in closing, we have so many opportunities where our people excel in many areas, not just in sports, but we do not have any programs here that specifically and deliberately target these persons to excel in these different areas where we can build the Bahamas. I just want to hear your thoughts on that, okay? No, thanks for taking my call this morning.
Thank you for calling in. But we'll go to the half and then we'll jump right back and answer all of those points. It's so much to unpack there. So we do invite you to stay tuned until after our halftime break and we'll get to it.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit EverybodyWinsLive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. These prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
Inland Revenue is here to guide and help you with all things business license and VAT. On March 25th and 26th at the National Baseball Stadium, the DIR will host a financial symposium with multiple government and private agencies. Then in the month of April, learn all about VAT through our in-person and virtual sessions during what we call VAT Education Month. For more information, follow Capital DIR Bahamas on all social media platforms.
That's the point. We good to go.
Yeah,
we good. All right, because we have to continue a very spirited conversation. Welcome back to The Accredited here on Guardian Radio 96.9, powered by 10th Year Seniors. I'm Ronaldo, and I did not know. I learned that Sparky is one of the greatest athletes in Bahamian history.
I'm Ricardo, and I just did not know four sports was possible in one Saturday morning.
It is if you was rolling with Sparky crew.
I'm John Mark, and the spark of this conversation is going to be crazy.
Yes, excellent.
If you want to join the conversation today, telephone lines are open at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, toll-free at 242-300-5720, or you can join us on the text line, that's 422-GR96, 422-4796.
All right, let's take it back to the conversation with the last caller when he mentioned, you know what, to flood the market with more of these athletes and be deliberate in our approach and not just have one-offs that we just are lucky with because they're blessed with talent. But no, let's take a systemic approach to ensuring that we create more of these. And he mentioned the sports academy model. Right. Why is it not happening for basketball? Well, baseball. And I mean, obviously I can speak to that specifically because my son's a part of one, but just being more in tune with how baseball is run in this country. Baseball is doing that. So you had a young group of Bahamian players that went off, saw how things are run differently, saying we can bring that same culture back here. Mm-hmm. And so that's where a lot of the baseball academy dreams came from. It's also happening for tennis. It's happening for golf, but that's just happening at Albany. Right. But the model for the academy programs are here. It's not as widespread as it should be. Now, the reason it's not happening for basketball, that's a whole other thing because
basketball is way different than other sports.
But even for that, from the developmental level, and I feel like all of us always used to say it, so in the same way how you have Freedom Farm and you have JBLN for baseball, for softball, where players are introduced to a sport, playing it at a young age, as young as 4 or 5, we're practicing all week, we're playing on weekends, we have seasons, does not exist now for basketball like it did for us when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. So I used to play mini basketball. We don't have that same kind of structure for basketball. And I feel like that's a big part of the problem there, because at the grassroots level, that's where you got to start with a whole lot of it. Before we get to the academy model.
Yeah, no. So the academy, for example, NBA Academy has an academy. Frederick went there, but the system is still tailored to you play in this academy, you get your training, you get your schoolwork, you go off to school. That's how the NBA Academy goes, because the NBA Academy at one point was using the G League You have to have a good enough league to get these kids to go in the academy to play. Because remember, the draft system is if you're 18 international, you can get drafted. So these kids are in these academies in Europe. They move up when they're 18. They've already played against pro competition. They say, okay, they're ready to be drafted. For us to have a basketball academy, yes, we could have one, but it have to be tailored more to like how NBA Academy is, where it'll be the system is still you got to go to college,
right? Yeah, no. So I think pretty much what the caller was trying to say is there's a different way we can go about this. So he mentioned VJ and he mentioned having more people like Kai Jones. It's just, look, if we're going to go after it, then let's actually go after it. Let's make sure we prepare them as much as possible. Yeah. So if we're already doing it in baseball, if it's happening in tennis, if it's happening in golf, then absolutely we can do it in basketball.
No, but see, this is why I always make the point. You don't have to jump straight to the academy portion. You could just get our regular programs together in the high school. Like, you could start there and then build out. When I say that, what I mean is this. You could go ahead and you could go to SMFRSN and say, hey, you have 5, maybe 6, maybe 7 quality students. What we could do is we could shift their academic program to a lot of more hours. Bring a proper coach and a proper trainer in. Get them the reps that they would need
in school.
Why wouldn't you just put them in the academy then?
No, what I'm saying is we could start at the school level where you don't have to build a facility.
Well, that's to identify the talent.
Yeah.
All right. Just taking the caller. Caller, go ahead. Welcome to the accredited.
Yeah, good day.
Go ahead.
Yes, you know, I watch about basketball. I watch a UCAMA game the other day, right?
Think we lost that caller? Go ahead now.
You think they lost the game?
I think they called just dropped.
But I wonder which game he was talking about. Now I'm intrigued. But yes, we can do the same academy model. And I think when John was saying, well, basketball is different, is because in team sports, it's so difficult. I feel like you almost have academy route. Are we back to the caller? All right, go ahead.
Caller, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome back.
Yeah, I was saying, I watched a UCAMA game the other day, right? And man, it amazed me how fast. I was upset, in a way, how fast the game was.
What do you mean?
Like CI was the CI game and the game for people.
Tabernacle. This is the championship game.
Right. It was like they were so aggressive. You know? Like the CI team, they would get the ball and they would, you know, very few passes and thing, and they'd be going to the hoop, you know? And then it was a lot of three-point game, a lot of three-point shots. You know, the game, you know, and I didn't see any guard play, like controlling the tempo, like a point guard.
Okay, now I see what you're saying. So you're saying the game was pretty much just helter-skelter, running back and forth.
Right.
No, okay, I got
no
you.
No structure.
No, but see, that I think that's in large part to do with John. He's touched on this point a lot. With the coaching element, I think our athleticism in the Bahamas has caught up to the international game, but the structure, the system that these guys play in does not dictate that they learn to control the pace of the game. So all of that needs to develop over time.
Right. You know, like say you watch a high school game in the U.S., right? You would see the point guard, that's the main ball hand. He'd bring the ball up the court. You know, there's no press. He'd bring the ball up the court, right? And he would initiate the offense. You know, he'd pass it to, you know, they're not going to take an open shot right away. Right. They try and get a better shot. I mean, a real open shot, a best open shot that they could, right? And then, like, the two guard, he would be able to control. He would be able to just make a few dribbles and, you know what I'm saying, before he attempts a shot or attempts a pass.
Right.
Well, I think the biggest part of it, and thank you for calling, is people are too busy here trying to win GSSA championships and trying to win Hugh Campbell championships as opposed to developing the players properly to be able to succeed at the D1 level, at the JUCO level. So that's the problem that we have when these kids are D1, probably the most D1 athletes in the world. It's just that their skill level isn't up to par, especially when they're playing locally.
It's not being fostered.
Yeah, it's not being, the skills aren't being honed in. For example, if you're a point guard, like you said, you need to be able to bring the ball up. Like the coaches in the States are more in tune to saying, how am I going to be able to get this kid to succeed? Because in reality, the more kids they get off to go to school, the bigger their name gets.
All right. And see, no, that's the angle I should have taken when I was talking about the academy portion. Instead of us saying, hey, let's jump straight to the academy, let's rebuild our high school programs to allow for that development, to allow for that system, to allow for that skill to be honed, because it's not happening right now.
Yeah.
So before we even get to the academy should be reserved for the cream of the crop.
The elites, the top, yes, of the top.
But yet still in our school system, we can improve our programs to the point that there is proper coaching, that there is proper development. And that's not happening right now.
I think we got to walk and chew gum at the same time. Right. I think we got to do both of those. Because that's for the elites. Those are always going to exist. Those exceptional ones are always going to be there. The thing about it is they just leave early and they have to. And if we're talking basketball or any team sport in general, but specifically basketball, since we're on that right now, you're not going to get enough games here. You're not going to get enough games against the competition. No, against the kind of competition that you need on the next level. You're not going to get that. God, are they playing like 10 games a season, maybe 12? These dudes playing three times as much in one summer.
Call you on at 10YS. Go ahead.
Hey, good day, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're good.
I ain't no big sports man, right? But it's excellent. I like what you all are saying. I don't know if I probably missed that y'all might have said it before, but I totally agree with y'all that when it comes to our sporting programs, I think we need to encourage the athletes that would run or do stuff together to develop more chemistry. And the reason why I say that is because rather than going to Olympics and coming from this way or to Corifta, this one coming from that way to come, we need to develop our own sporting systems here in the Bahamas so these athletes can be like sisters and brothers so that chemistry can be there. I don't know what y'all think about something like that because we're missing that.
I agree with the whole concept of you have to develop your own here. Like track and field, I always tell people, track and field is something where you are timed. So realistically, when it comes to recruiting track and field,
numbers are numbers.
Whereas basketball, even baseball, sometimes you have to look at how they play, look at how they move, and you'll be like, I could see him developing in a certain way. Yeah. So it's not only, you know, getting the chemistry, but it's also identifying the talent properly to be able to say, like Carter says, pick the 10 that we got and let's go. Because even if we start a sports academy, what's stopping us from saying, hey, we got a sports academy in the Bahamas, let's go get Jamaicans, let's go get the Turks and Caicos kids, let's go get the Haitian kids that are down there. Because all of a sudden, you're bringing the best talent in the region to help improve our product.
And this is what my frustration is in this conversation, because we're doing that exactly right now with academics, with well-off kids. We have more boarding schools in the Bahamas in the last 5 years than we did the entire first 50 years of the country.
I don't even know where they're coming from.
This is the point I'm trying to make.
They're expensive. They got good commercials.
Once you make it available, you grow the product.
If you build it, they will come.
And right now what we're doing, we're not even considering building it.
But that's the part.
We used to consider it a lot I remember when Donnie Johnson was the Minister of Sports, I used to write the stories before the press conference because I knew exactly what he was going to say.
Mr. Johnson, if you're listening.
I miss him. He was a big proponent of we got to build these national sports academies because this is not reinventing the wheel.
Danny Johnson had the vision.
Yeah. Every single caller we had today, they touched on a different aspect of it, but all of that could be solved within the academy. When we talk about coaching style, when we talk about chemistry, when we talk about fostering the elites into getting to a position where they need to be. All of that is answered in the academy model.
But see, again, this now I got to get into the politics part because this is where the mistake is made in this country.
No, it's made in the polls or the voting booths.
Which is true. But when you consider somebody like a Donnie Johnson, and before him, I came up in a generation where Neville Wisdom was the sports minister. You had persons that had good concepts of what sports could have been in this country. But because they get lost in the wash with the regular political fodder, you end up losing somebody who knows how to develop these sorts of programs.
And you're always shuffling cabinets.
Exactly.
And it's just like,
if you have the position where these persons are appointed and not elected, you can have a situation where an F&M administration comes in and say, hey, we really like what Donnie Johnson was doing in sports. Try to continue that program. That's all I'm saying.
But
like, you lose things like that when you go through these kind of shuffles.
Bipartisan. Governance. That'll happen in the Bahamas.
Things like this, because tourism, and we could always go back because we talk about tourism enough for saying A sports academy could increase tourism. Why?
Absolutely.
You have a sports academy with basketball. You have the top 24 talent in the region. Barbados, Trinidad. You can name every single Caribbean. Take their best players to bring them to this academy. You start having AAU tournaments here. Those teams from the States would be like, hey, if we're going to be playing the top talent in XYZ region and they've shown that they could play, those top teams are going to start coming down here to play more games. You all of a sudden have that where teams will keep coming down the entire summer.
Yep.
So it'll be like one batch of teams come down, heads in beds. They're making money.
To your point of what you was talking about, and if you had these as a point of positions and it wasn't just this always quick turnover rate, yeah. I think the biggest problem with what happens there is we feel like when people get in these positions of power, they just have to reward whoever was with them,
yeah.
Or you just have to have whoever was working in that ministry, whether they still have the foresight to be innovative in their thoughts, doesn't matter. They were just there, so the status quo is going to continue to be what the status quo was. So rather than actually getting the best minds, actually finding people with ideas to move things forward, we just continue as is.
But this is where the bipartisan politics will come in.
It'll never come in.
It will never come in. We know that. But at the same time, it's like if you have group coming up with these great ideas and then another party comes in, so like you said, we're going to ask you because we got to put our people in. Instead of fostering this thing saying, hey, what did you guys do?
Fostering.
Yeah. Go to Supreme Court. Let's see what this whole thing is. Right? No, it's you got to cut everything and then you're starting from zero. And if we keep starting from zero, we're never going to get anywhere because I would guarantee you the people who worked in that department for 5 years, if they got paid those 5 years working and then told your plan needs to be handed over, then you hand the plan over.
Just think how many quality products are now left on cutting room floor at the Department of Sports because you have things like you still have proper systems for data collection, proper systems for statistics collection. All of this is out of the window because you don't have that continuation of the system.
I'm glad you say that because so a few of the kids from Kaizen's Academy, they went and are playing high school baseball, talking about their stats that they had. The season just started a few weeks ago, but they are talking about stats. They're showing stats. None of that exists here.
Yeah.
Like none of it happens. I can go online and check all of that. And it seems like a really small thing, but it's not.
No, it's the biggest thing.
It's not because when it comes to recruiting and getting to the next level, what are people going to hold on to?
Rephrase that. It is a small thing. It's something
to get done.
You can do with a minimum investment of $100K. You can get a program in place and a team to run that properly very, very easily. You can get 3 or 4 people out of UB and have them run that system for the course of the year.
But who in any ministry is going to say, yeah, this is important enough for us to undertake?
And this
and
is
who's
why,
going to explain why that's important enough
but,
to happen?
But see, now I'll take it a step further. This is where my frustration with our system exists. Because you have a minister right now that wants coach, not only run-of-the-mill, one of the best high school programs. So he knows how
national
important,
team.
He knows how important a level system like coach. That would be. But he is so caught up in the actual political spaces that aspect of his day-to-day isn't being
handled. All right, so what about the team around him?
Boy.
This is why you got to put a good team that can do that. Because obviously, if you're the CEO, because within that ministry, he's the CEO, right? The CEO ain't going to have his fingers on every single thing happening.
I need somebody
company.
To manage the portfolio of high school basketball. I need somebody to manage the portfolio of high school softball.
That's what I'm saying.
And I need it to matter.
That's
I don't need
team.
It to just exist and happen during
but the same
two,
way,
3 months. I need it to exist and matter year-round.
With these track events, you could always get time from track events, right? The biggest thing is, and this is what you always want to tell people, you can have data collection stuff. And that leads to other jobs, other opportunities. Yep. It's not just saying, I collect stats. We have a ton of tournaments down here. If you're live stats certified, then you know Battle for Atlantis comes, Bahama Hoops comes. You could be doing that type of stuff. FIBA games come. You'll be getting paid doing that. Some of these kids, if you get them doing this young enough in a high school program, when they go off to college, all of a sudden, you got team manager analytics, you got live stat stuff. It becomes a system where you are molding these kids saying, here's a chance to be able to do something in college. Because if you went there and said, I did XYZ with live stats, you're probably going to get a job at college doing the basketball games.
And I want to bring it full circle. You all touched on it in the first segment
it's
with
my favorite shape.
Cooper Flagg. What did you say about it?
Dead.
He's considered the number one
overrated.
Not as good as VJ.
But you said it. He's considered the number one pick. He's been considered that because we've seen his development. We've seen his stats. Literally from middle school?
You want me really tell you why he's considered that?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. From middle school.
No, from middle school up to now, you've seen his stats. You've seen his development. You see when he sucked at rebounding, when he was 6'5 and struggling against guys. Up to the point now, you've seen him address his game and develop. All that is a part of the system that we now need to incorporate. I'm not saying VJ lacked from it. What VJ did is he took the minimal skill set that he had when he was here. He went off to school and realized that.
He was always a shooter.
Gotta leave.
He realized that over there, but there's a lot more that I could do to grow my game. Somebody is telling me, hey, instead of shooting your tree. Exactly. Instead of shooting your tree like this, I need you to come up off the left, come up a little stronger off the right. And that's how you develop a number one.
And right now, it cannot happen here. And that is what we really got to address. But when we were talking about starting at 4 and 5, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and one of the biggest things is, let's look at all the D1 athletes we have, right? Yeah. How many of them came directly from here? I mean, basketball. I mean, basketball.
One, Magnum. Magnum Roll is the only one. Everybody else had to leave.
Everyone had to go the JUCO route.
The earlier you leave, the better.
So most D1 are from here go JUCO, then D1. Right. Whereas the players who go off, like the Travis Munnings, Tum Tum, Nathan Bain, like those are guys, Rashad Davis, those are guys that went off and then went D1.
Right. Good afternoon, caller. Thank you for joining the Accredited.
Yeah, I sorry to call back, but I wanted to mention something. And what you're talking about, this basketball program, is very, very important, because, I mean, a lot of youths are so impoverished in the city and preoccupied, right? But I used to play basketball, you know, with the B League and high school basketball. And I surprised myself. I realized the dexterity of, you know, two-hand, right?
Yeah.
I'm right-handed, right? And you believe it, I actually end up shooting with my left hand just as good as my right. Sometime I would hit more with my left. I couldn't even believe it. It's unbelievable.
That's like LeBron.
So I think that's something we should be concentrating on. I think once a player is dexterous like that, when you look at you coming off with a dribble, and holding that ball and pointing your elbow towards the rim and you're able to arch the ball properly, you're basically unstoppable if you're able to spin left and right. I used to have fun like that. I think I still have some of those capabilities. Not that I was, you know, back in those days, we didn't have the opportunity that these guys have. Mm-hmm. But I always pride myself on being able to dribble left and dribble right and shoot the ball. It made me feel better.
All right. Thank you for the call. And to that end, I'll tell you what, making my next kid left-handed.
You can't say it like that.
Yes, you can.
They made Rafael Nadal left-handed.
See?
In tennis. Look at that. Righty.
Well, I think rich.
I think they did the same thing with matter of fact, I'm glad you say the super rich comment. Because I think oftentimes that's what we leave out in these sorts of discussions.
Oh, that should lead the conversation.
No, we think about these athletes as, hey, we're just giving them something to do. So you don't understand. Like, look at the black community in the United States. Professional sports changed the environment. Right now. Well, they are. Mm-hmm. But the professional sports changed the environment. We could do the same thing right now. Imagine what it would do to our GDP. Imagine what it would do to our business community if we had 4 or 5 Buddy Heels in Freeport right now. Imagine what it would be if we had 4 or 5 VJ Edgecombs. Well, in 2-3 years, VJ Edgecombs in Bimini right now.
But this is
where you get, the other day, I forget his name, Max. I think it's Maxwell, who died the other day from Charlotte. He's a basketball player.
Vernon Maxwell?
Oh, no.
Not Vernon Maxwell.
No, from Milwaukee.
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember the name. But yes, the guy, he used to play in the NBA. Oh, I have to look this up. He used to play in the NBA. After his playing days, he went on and he became like the model for what to do with your money in your post-playing career, made some great investments. And actually, when new players came into the NBA, they would hold him up as the model and Correct. Said, hey, this is what you do.
He not only changed his hometown, he changed the city, he changed the entire state he was from.
And laid just the blueprint for who to came
just
after.
Just off of investments alone. Imagine if you had that in a country this small, what the possibilities could be. And I hate to say it like this. We see what Sabas has done with his business model, how he's been able to move from one industry to another, to another, to another. This is how you grow new industries and
countries. Don't get me started on how our rich people don't do enough for sports.
I won't get there. But no, that's what we need to start to look at in this conversation.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like, I feel like that's something we've always been saying, though, because the number one thing that we say, if you had to put a theme on the Accredited, it would be, we take sports recreationally and not as big business. Like John was pointing out a few minutes ago, that's just one avenue. And I think Aaron was talking about this before we even started the show. Yeah. That's just one avenue. That's just using stats to have a job. This is big business. Like, when you talk about American culture and American society, because let's face it, that's who we model a lot of this stuff after. We right there. There is entire industries built around this. This is so much more than just one single athlete.
Final call of the day. Welcome to the Accredited. Turn your radio down.
Hello.
Hey, turn your radio down.
Okay.
Sparky, you ought to double take today. I feel like you opening. You can hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, you opening the show and closing the show today. Go ahead.
Okay. Talk. Let me give you a challenge. When I was younger, I did this. I came up and died with the first Independence March. When I was younger, in 2000, they changed the name from what I did with them. They changed it to the People's Rush.
But that was
when I went to Kayla Lockett. I went and sat with her. I said, let's do the first Independence Rush.
Right.
They changed that because somebody was director of sport.
Wow.
A director of something. They wanted to give it their name.
Fatty.
Then after that, when I was a young man in Masonic Lodge. In the Masonic Lodge, a 24-year-old man.
Right.
I told them, let's march to give blood. We got together on a Sunday. We marched from Rawson Square, Parliament Square, Shirley Street, to the blood bank, and we donated 195 pints of blood. 195 pints of blood.
It's a lot of blood.
It is still the record at the blood bank now.
Record holder.
Spock. They don't march anymore. Spock, the blood bank comes to Prince Hall.
I got to ask. I know you are one of the original Valley Boys. How do you feel about the Valley Boys trying to work their way through?
Oh, see, you take it over from my story.
Thank you. Tell us more, Sparky.
No, let me give you my story.
Thank you. Don't let him sidetrack you. Tell us more about the record.
You let me give it. That's what you all do. I'm talking to you.
Not me,
Sparky. Take it from the talker.
Not me, Sparky. Run your stuff.
Okay. After I did the blood march, the next thing I did was Kites and Gadgets on the Western Fort. Well, from 2000, I got every year the people in the country to sponsor Kites and Gadgets. Then we got the children up there to fly kites, do box car racing,
wow,
do all the things that I grew up doing as a youngster in the valley.
So you was bringing it back?
No. This guy's bringing it back. And I think we can teach the children to do what we used to do
right
when we were kids.
Got you. That's a great
initiative. I did the Kites and Gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? I did these things that I ran out of sponsorship. The number boys, Craig Flowers, promised me every year he was going to help me do it again. We haven't done it yet.
All right, Swaki. We got to
go. Now, this is the last thing.
Okay, last thing. Then we got to discuss it. Go ahead.
This is the last thing. In 1958, my mother donated the first set of monies to the Valley Boys from Malcolm Gas Station, A.B. Malcolm, to Gus Cooper to start the Valley Boys in 1958.
History.
December gone made 66 years. And they have never honored my mother yet.
That is
on Bay Street.
That is crazy.
I told them about that. Brian Adley and all of those, Gus Cooper did never intend to leave the Valley Boys to the Gus Cooper family.
We got to wrap it up, Sparky. Thank you for joining us.
The Valley Boys wanted them.
Caller, last call, go ahead. Welcome to the accredited.
I wanted to hear more about. Oh, sorry.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Sparky is correct to a certain extent, but I just wanted to correct him that the Valley Boys didn't officially start until 1960 when Gus came. You see?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And the first sponsor of the Valley Boys was Morton Bakery. Thanks for taking my call.
Take care.
Thank you. I would just like to say this was probably our greatest episode of The Accredited. Thank you, Sparky. Can't wait to hear more from you next week.
We need a Sparky month.
We need a Sparky episode every show.
Just deep dives with Sparky.
That's the name.
Thank you for joining The Accredited this week. We'll be back next week with more show.